Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
I love your show. It's not only entertaining, but a public service.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. 203-333-9422. Joining us now is veterinarian Dr. Melissa Shapiro. And she's going to tell us an extremely warm-hearted story of Piglet. But first, Melissa, hello. Welcome to the show, Dr. Shapiro. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I understand you're a neighbor. We both live in Westport. Or let me put it this way. You work in Westport. I don't know if you live in Westport. Do you live in Westport, too?
I live in Westport, too. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, we're neighbors, and I heard wonderful things about you just this morning because I mentioned to Dr. Jeffrey Kay, who was here to check out my 11-week-old Bichon puppy. Such a cutie. Named Yofi. Such a cutie. And I mentioned you were coming on the show, and he mentioned that he knew you from way back when at the Animal Medical Center. Way back when.
Oh, yes, long ago.
So Dr. Shapiro, welcome to the show today. Good morning. I want you to tell us first a little bit about Piglet and how Piglet came to be in your life.
Well, Piglet is a double dapple dachshund chihuahua mix. He came from a hoarding situation in Georgia, rescued by a friend of mine, a veterinary friend of mine that has a rescue down there. Double dapple means that both parents were dapple colored, and when you breed two dapple colored dogs together, there's a 25% chance that the puppies will be what's called double dapple. And that is linked to congenital ear and eye defects. This is not a good thing to do. It's a horrible thing to do to dogs. Some people do it intentionally and some people do it accidentally.
Hold on. What do you mean intentionally? What do you mean intentionally?
Some breeders breed dapple-colored dogs together, and when they do, they run the risk of creating very disabled dogs, puppies.
I see.
And then they discard them. So we're here. Piglet is an ambassador for educating people about that abuse, but also rescue in general and his other educational programming. But Piglet came to me through my friend Gloria Andrews in Georgia, who is a veterinarian, as I said, and he came to be fostered by my husband and me, and he came here and stayed. So that's how he ended up in Westport. Yeah.
So he came to Westport double dappled. Is that the pinkness? Is that the coloring too?
Well, when the dogs that are double dapple, which is, as I said, when two dapple dogs are bred together, bad thing. We are discouraging that. Don't want to glorify it with how cute Piglet is, but he has a lot of the hair. Those dogs have a white or mostly white hair coat. He is pink because he has very little fur on his ears and face. He has white fur on his back and he's completely bald underneath. So you see the pink showing through, and he actually looks like a pink dog.
Aww. And so let me ask you about that. We're chatting with the veterinarian, Dr. Melissa Shapiro, 203-333-9422. Just focusing on that for a bit altogether. Those dogs are not meant to be hairless. Does that possibly cause other kinds of bodily issues from your point of view as a vet?
No. The hairless part of him is his breed. He's part Chihuahua and part Dachshund, and a lot of those dogs are bald underneath. They have very little hair on their face and ears. So that is not anything to do with anything negative. It's just the way he is. We have to watch him in the sun because he will get sunburned, of course.
Yeah. So now he came, I'm understanding, both deaf and blind. Is that right?
Yes. So some of the dogs are deaf. Some are blind, some are neither, some can see and hear, some are part deaf or blind. It's a problem that happens in herding dogs and in Great Danes and other breeds or breed mixes that have that merling dapple coloring. So Piglet happens to be both deaf and blind, and he's profoundly disabled, yet he came to us very upset. Of course, he was very anxious, and he wasn't sure what was doing around him because he was in a new place and he didn't know how he would communicate and who was going to communicate with him. He's not a laid back dog. He's a very feisty, active dog. And he really, I'm sure, was very upset not knowing what to do about that. So we connected with him. We held him a lot. We taught him tap signals, and he bonded and connected with our other dogs who are all rescued, and they formed a little group. They supported him. We supported the whole thing, and Piglet gained confidence, and he got into his routine and became a very happy dog, which is one of his great attributes. Is he's a very happy dog. He lives an amazing, positive life. He just needed that little boost, you know, to get him into where he needed to be. Yeah.
So I want to understand. We're chatting with Dr. Melissa Shapiro, who's a local vet in Westport, 203-333-9422. Tell me about this tapping system. Is this a touch system to the dog? You're tapping the dog?
Piglet is deaf and blind. So if he was deaf only, he could see hand signals. A lot of people with deaf dogs use American Sign Language with their dogs. Mm-hmm. If he was blind, but he could hear, he would be able to hear us giving him verbal cues. But since he's both deaf and blind, we need to touch him in order to connect with him, with teaching him with all the various basics of dog manners, sitting, staying, down. I have a tap for him to go pee. He has go to your bed, let's go. He does shake. He gives his little paw. He's extremely adorable.
Really?
And he enjoys
really?
Doing this stuff. Yeah, he's very, very connected, and he wanted to be connected. So just like any other puppy, this is all described in my book, by the way, very explicitly how to teach tap signals to how I taught them to Piglet. I'm sure there are other people doing it maybe a tiny bit different, but it's, all I did was teach him the way I would teach any puppy, but instead of speaking to him or giving him hand signals, I gave him tap signals, which I made up myself, where I would touch him. He's a very tiny dog. There aren't a lot of places to vary what you're doing. So I did what came naturally. Obviously, when you wanted to sit, I tapped him just above his hips, in front of his tail on his lower back. That's it. And he's got a whole little repertoire of tap signals, which he loves to do. It's very stimulating for him to be part of the group. And my other dogs do the same. And, I speak to them and I give him tap signals. So he has his own way of communication, but he's able to be within the group, which is very inclusive, which is part of his messaging. So he enjoys it. And he performs, and it's extremely adorable when he's doing it, of course, because he's so cute. But it's a very important thing for him to feel included and not alone, because otherwise he would be isolated, being deaf and blind. So we include him in, and he's part of the group over here.
And let me ask you this. We're chatting with Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian, 203-333-9422, and the story is Piglet. It's a beautiful book. How does Piglet let you know, and does he let you know when he needs to go out and things like that?
Yes. Piglet is very communicative. He's a very confident dog. He's got a great sense of humor. He loves to play, and he loves to bark. So being with him all the time, I have an idea of what he wants when he's barking at me. He goes to certain places when he wants to play, when he wants to eat, and he'll bark. He actually does not go to the door to go out to pee, because I carry him. We carry him. My husband is here as well, taking care of Piglet. And he's so small that I taught him to go up the stairs, but not down. Because he's so tiny that I'm afraid, even though he probably can do it, he's really small. It would be dangerous for him if he lost his balance. He wouldn't be able to see where he was, and he would tumble worse than another dog, I think. So he knows to go up, but I kind of have an idea when he needs to go out, and he knows what to expect. He knows he's going to be taken out so that he doesn't have to worry about that. So, that's how. But he communicates by barking. He can be extremely annoying.
I've got a question for you. We're chatting with Dr. Melissa Shapiro. So I just brought home an 11-week-old puppy on Saturday. And I was always this is our fourth dog. They're all Bichons. They're not all at the same time, but I do have Shayna with us. The other two passed on. And I love the breed very much. This is my first male dog. But I'm not very good, and the breed isn't really great at learning very quickly about, you know, house training, right? We know this about the breed. But we love the breed. But okay, that's a given, right? That is a given. Very sweet and very wonderful and perfect kind of breed for my life, and wonderful dogs. I love them to pieces. But so I can't stand the crying of an animal, Melissa. I can't take it. So when the dog came home the first night and I had this crate in the kitchen, and I put the dog in, you know, within seconds, the piercing upstairs where our bedroom is, I couldn't handle it. So I slept in the orthopedic dog bed next to the cage with my finger in the cage for the last two nights, right? Just to make the dog feel comfortable. And then the dog went right to bed. How many nights should I do this? And or should I bring the cage upstairs to my bed so I can get a real night's sleep? What should I do?
That's like an hour long consult, but truthfully, I think dogs are always happier of in the bedroom with their people. Okay. I always have the rule that the puppies stay in the crates until they're house trained, so they're not going to be peeing all over the place. However, my last two, I couldn't take it, and they both sleep in bed with me, and they did from the time they were very tiny. So. I'm not a good person to ask about anymore. I'm too old. Okay. I don't want to be up all night anymore. But I did stick it out with the other ones, you know.
You did.
I think that it depends on the dog and it depends on your situation. You know, most puppies can learn to sleep in a crate. And if they're going to be having accidents in your bed or you know, worse, then they have to learn. So, but I think keeping them upstairs in a bedroom with people.
At least they know fairer.
They can hear you and they can smell you. They know you're there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because puppies are not, dogs, here's the point, right? And you were saying this about Piglet. We're chatting with Melissa Shapiro. Dogs are very social beings. That's the point, right? They don't like to be alone.
Yeah. No, they do not want to be alone. Whether they can see and hear or not, they still don't want to be alone.
They don't want to be alone.
But some can learn. And sometimes it's important because sometimes, you know, people don't teach the dogs to spend any time alone, and then they end up with separation issues when you do need to leave them, either to go to the food store when it's too hot, they can't come in the car with you, they can't come in the food store, and they have to stay home. So I always recommend to people that they teach the dog, even if there are some people that work from home and or they're taking care of kids at home and they're in the house a lot. Those dogs need to learn that they're not going to be with you every single second of the day. Where they turn into separation.
That's part of being a happy, independent creature. Yes. You got to be able to be with yourself a little bit too. I agree with that. Right.
Is.
There's a balance. But the nighttime is a lot of time.
Brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just brutal for me. We're chatting with Melissa Shapiro, who's a veterinarian in Westport. And now your book and the story of Piglet really took off on social media. Were you surprised by that?
Well, I wasn't surprised that I'm not surprised. And I'll tell you why. There's a lot of dogs on social media. There's a lot of really cute dogs. And a lot of dogs have really interesting, compelling stories. Those are the ones that get most of the attention. And my dog is one of them. He has a beautiful story that teaches people about rescue to start with, how important it is to care about animals, teaching children to care about animals and adults to care about animals. And then he came up here and he began, and I made him Facebook page, which became very popular very quickly because people are interested. They want to understand what this is about when you have a profoundly disabled dog who can somehow integrate himself into a family and become a very happy, joyful creature. So that in itself, and then he moved on to having an educational program that we bring into schools that teaches about having a growth mindset, facing challenges with a positive attitude, inclusion, acceptance, empathy, and kindness. And all of that happened because he was on Facebook to start with. That's where I connected with the people that have pushed this into a much bigger realm and achieving, I would say, a viral video with the dodo was one of the big steps that we took. And of course the dodo features rescued animals.
And I love the dodo.
Of course, that they embrace.
Love the dodo.
And he's had he's had three videos with them that have brought his message. His first video had 13 million views within a very short time. So that helped our pages grow. But our messaging is very important. People enjoy watching him. But when they're watching him, they are learning about not just disabled animals, but disabled people, and especially the kids. When we go into the schools with our program, which is an online program that teachers can download from the website, which is pigmentmindset.org, and then we enhance the program with visits and collaboration with the teachers. So the kids get a lot out of it. They learn about a disabled dog, and they want to know everything about him. They want to know how he knows which dog he's playing with. Does he have a favorite dog? Why is he pink? How does he find his way to the back door? How does he find his food? How does he know whose lap he's sitting on? These sorts of things they're asking, and that then opens doors for them to accept their peers who might have a disability and feel much less, boundaries between them and someone who has issues that they don't understand. Now they understand how to ask the questions, and they understand better how to relate. So it's all a very nice package that Piglet has. So of course he's very popular, and he's extremely adorable, which does not
hurt. We're chatting with Dr. Melissa Shapiro. I one other thing, doctor, before I let you go, you have all these rescue dogs, and it's so wonderful. Can you just tell us a little bit about how you observed how the dogs treated Piglet? Like, do they intuitively or just very... You know what I'm saying about how they understand how to treat an animal?
Well, this is part of our educational program, which, again, this is all described in our book, which I hope people will read. But in any case, Piglet came in, and we had six dogs. One of them in particular, Susie, she's not here anymore. She's very welcoming to all the dogs that came in. She was the oldest one. And she had a really, really created an atmosphere of kindness in our house among the dogs. So when Piglet came, just throwing a tiny 1-pound puppy in with six dogs is probably not advisable in most cases, but they were very welcoming of him. And Susie in particular would lay with him, and she nurtured him in a very maternal way. But the other dogs also, everybody learned that Piglet's going to bang into you. He's going to act a little bit off when you're playing. He's not going to be able to find you when you are playing really rough and you're moving around from here to here in more of a frenetic, crazy play way. And one of the dogs in particular is Zoe. She's his size. She will go and tag him either with a little nip or with her paw. She'll tap him to get his attention so he turns to where the group is and where she's playing with him. They had to learn this. This is adaptive for them. This is not natural. Dogs that play can see each other. They don't need to worry whether the dog is going to be going in the opposite direction when they move the other way. So they all observed this, and they all adapted their own play with him. And they're very kind to him. They're also very kind to each other, which is very important in our lessons, as especially because they are all different sizes, shapes, colors, breeds, breed mixes, coming from different places with different personalities, different ages. And they are a very nice group. I just posted a video on my Instagram and Facebook pages, I think yesterday or the day before, of me walking five dogs plus Piglet in the stroller. And it's really quite beautiful, I think, because they're all walking together.
So, Melissa Shapiro, what's your handle on Instagram? What's your handle?
Instagram is at Pink Piglet Puppy. Facebook is Piglet the Deaf Blind Pink Puppy.
All right, I'll follow you right now. You're going to have another follower.
You're following right now. But I hope that people will buy our book too. I'm just giving a plug. It's coming out tomorrow.
Of course. Oh, yes, of course. The book. The book is fantastic.
Yes.
Definitely. I mean, I didn't have a chance to read every page of it because I knew I was talking to you. But I have to say one thing. I think you named the dog brilliantly, because when I first took a look at the dog, I for a second thought it might be a pig.
Yes, when he was a baby, he looked like a baby pig. Like, people would stop me on the street. They still do even now because his little pink nose looks like a pig's nose. And they would stop and do a double take and say, is that a pig? And I would say, no, his name is Piglet, but he's a dog. And he's pink also. So he, and a friend of mine on Instagram has a farm rescue sanctuary, and she has pigs, and she made a little picture of Piglet sitting next to a baby pig. I gave her one of his baby pictures. So she had Piglet the dog with a little pink piglet. I think the piglet's name was Patrick, is Patrick. And she put them next to each other in one little picture. It's so cute.
It's wonderful. Well, it's Piglet, the unexpected story of a deaf-blind pink puppy and his family, by Melissa Shapiro, our local veterinarian here in Westport, Connecticut. Melissa, it's lovely to talk with you. Congrats on all of this. And I just, you know, always in awe when I speak to people who walk the walk in life and are so living their life's purpose. And it's very beautiful to do this. Yeah, it's very nice to get to know you. Thanks, Melissa. Thank you.
Following your passion is a nice thing.
That's the key.
Thanks so much.
That's the key. Thank you. Melissa Shapiro on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.